Greetings, everybody out there in dreamland. Namaste and shalom. Iron sharpens iron, and a friend sharpens a friend. You are listening to the Beyond Top Secret Texan. I am the Beyond Top Secret Texan, broadcasting to you from the coast with the most, the Gulf Coast, the third coast of Texas. The darkest truths from the darkest web need to be told. And you must listen to the Beyond Top Secret Texan. Greetings, everybody out there in dreamland. Namaste and shalom. Iron sharpens iron, and a friend sharpens a friend. Thank you all very much for tuning in to another broadcast of the Beyond Top Secret Texan. I am the Beyond Top Secret Texan, broadcasting to you from the third coast, the coast with the most, the Gulf Coast of Texas. And it is my pride and privilege to be doing so. So thank you all very, very much, listeners, new and old alike. I mean that most sincerely. Check out linktree.com/beyondtopsecrettexan to find links to all my social media. If you have not done so, go ahead and subscribe, like, and share those pages, as well as your favorite episodes or this episode across all the social media and, you know, social message boards, chat sites, etc. that you peruse and get it in front of as many eyes as you think would help, you know, spread the message, spread the gospel of the Beyond Top Secret Texan, and get us a lot more traction and a much larger footprint on the internet for 2023 than we have had in 2022. So we're just trying to keep the meteoric rise and accelerationist trajectory of the Beyond Top Secret Texan's growing popularity, influence, and importance, fresh and alive. But we need everyone to help out. It's free to do, easy for you, 5 minutes, just liking, subscribing, and sharing this episode. Leave a 5-star rating. Hell, leave a 1-star rating. Love those too. But definitely become a little bit more active. And it would be much obliged by myself, as this is a solo project. And we're fighting against mainstream censorship, big tech censorship, deep state tech censorship, and of course, all the covert occult secret societies, cults, and covens that operate in all arenas and strata of life and are as diverse as the seasons themselves, but united in their common enemy, the truth. And the liberated human soul. And the truth will set you free. So if you support the truth and truth tellers, then definitely support the teller of the darkest truths on the darkest web, the Beyond Top Secret Texan. Now today, it's going to be a great pleasure to kind of do a dual interview, a swap cast, with a fellow South Texan paranormal podcast. They are the We Believe, Do You podcast. The We Believe ... Do You ? Podcast. I believe they are called Ellipses. We Believe Ellipses Do You question mark podcast. South Texas show, South Texas creators, South Texas paranormal investigators by their nature. They have been podcasting since 2020. They are the brother and sister duo of Eric and Michelle Connor. I've been wanting to focus and highlight more Texas paranormal investigators, specifically South Texas paranormal investigators, and this is right up that alley. This is a incredible opportunity to get to talk to people who are in my neighborhood, in my locality, in my state, who share many of the same cultural roots, especially the kind of gestalt nature of the curiosity of the paranormal, and really interested to see how this interview goes exactly. We'll be interviewing them for 30 minutes, and then we'll be asking them, you know, the questions of their career and personality and passions. And then we'll be going into a 30-minute interview where I discuss a paranormal event, a close encounter that happened to me in September of 2022. So, thank you very much for tuning in to this broadcast. Thank you very much for your continued attention and your support, whether it be purely moral or be moving into, you know, financial or more active promotion, cooperation, or collaboration. You know, we thank you in advance. So thank you very much out there in Dreamland. Next time you hear me, we will be talking to Eric and Michelle Connor of the We Believe Ellipses Do You? ? Podcast. A South Texas independent paranormal investigative podcast. We're very excited. So stick around. Thank you very much.
Saying it, so I kind of know, but I don't fully know. So I'm excited to hear what you got for us today, for sure.
Well, like, exactly. So I'm going to try to interview you guys for half an hour, and because I'm equally interested in how South Texas paranormal investigators like yourself come to be, what events in your life drove your passions and got you really interested in this, and then how your process has been as a fellow podcaster. I started in 2020, as well as I see that you guys did it too. So I think that's a very good year for podcasters. I think a lot of people have just kind of like decided to take the plunge into either YouTube or podcasting or TikTok or something around that time. But what I've been trying to do a lot lately is get into Texas, like basically try to build a lot of interviews with Texas-based paranormal investigators in South Texas, especially independent podcasts, independent creators, independent paranormal people, because I think our area, I'm from Corpus Christi based and born and raised, and I went to school in Texas and lived here most of my life. So this area is both, I know, under respected, under talked about, like it's just kind of goes under the radar. It's very obscure compared to like California, New York, and all the haunted places, like, you know, in Georgia and stuff. But we have a lot of accounts, a lot of interest into it, a lot of very special people working in this field, and I think that, like, you guys are some of them. So however much you would like to divulge, you know, just you feel free, because this is going to be about you guys for the first half hour too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's what I said, like, it's not only about, you know, I want to interview you guys too, so yeah, it's like, so don't feel shy about telling me about however much you would like to talk about your personal process and journey and career.
Yeah, Yeah, I feel like it's always awkward for Eric and I, because they're like, no, wait, we're always on the other side doing the interviewing, so this part of it is always kind of weird, I guess. But I don't know, Eric, do you want to start? Do you want me to start? Do you have a preference?
I think, excuse me, I think you should start, just because I feel like the whole reason why we started this was your brainchild. I feel like I'm along for the ride, but...
I don't know, should we start from, like, the very beginning?
Yeah, do you have an intro or anything you would like to first say, like, any kind of introduction for your channel? Like, how would you introduce yourself in your own words? Like, any social media links you would like to give, anything like that? I'm already recording on my end, so if you guys just wanted to jump into... who you are, how can people get to know you, how can they, you know, get a hold of you or listen to you, where to find you, you know, you got the mic. Yep.
Yeah. All right, sweet. So I am Michelle, and the other voice that you heard is Eric, and we are a brother and sister duo from, originally from Brownsville, Texas. I'm up in Austin, Texas now, but we started up our podcast back in 2020, also called We Believe, Do You? And I mean, the title is kind of pretty self-explanatory. We have always been, you know, super into the paranormal. I think maybe I might have started a little bit earlier than Eric, but as far as, you know, the podcast, we're on Instagram and on Facebook mostly. And we have people come on to share their paranormal experiences that they've had. And then we also will do like stories of high strangeness. So we'll either have people send in stories, or sometimes we'll pull some from Reddit as well, of just whether it's ghosts or aliens or just cryptids, weird things, whatever it may be. And then we also do deep dives at the beginning of the month, where we pick a topic and just kind of do like an hour-long episode on that kind of stuff. But... that's our podcast and kind of how we got started. I mean, yeah, like you said, COVID was kind of like, okay, what do? Podcast or something else? And we always found that talking about the paranormal was our favorite thing. And we noticed, too, a lot that people get shut down when they're talking about maybe some of these more, you know, obscure, quote-unquote, things. But we just eat it up. Like, we love it. We love, you know, getting full body chills and stuff. So when we do our podcast, specifically interviewing people, we wanted to feel like, yeah, like just three friends kind of talking about spooky stuff. And it's always a lot of fun and really laid back. And we love hearing, you know, the stories that people have to share.
Now, right on, right on. Quick observation. I already see you guys are over 100 episodes. So any plans in the future to keep that momentum up, or to maybe branch off into documentaries or a YouTube channel or something? What's on the future for you guys moving into 2023 and onward?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're pretty... this isn't like our only thing we do. So like we really try and just do the best that we can in this space. I mean, eventually I think we've always talked about maybe doing it to where we can record. Well, like right now we're recording our video, but we don't actually use the video on YouTube. We do have a YouTube channel, but only, I would say, like maybe a third or half of our episodes. I think it might have been a third of our episodes have gone up on there, but it's just audio as well. And we didn't really get a lot of views on there because of it, I'm assuming. So I think like it's just to continue to interview people, to continue giving people a space where they can come on and, you know, tell their stories and, not feel judged, and eventually maybe get some video on YouTube. But I mean, to be honest, a big part of why we started this was, like Michelle mentioned, is since we don't live, we've always been pretty close, you know, growing up. And when she ended up leaving, we would talk on the phone every once in a while, and eventually the conversation always came around to something, you know, weird that happened to us and stuff like that. So we were like, you know what? This is like our way to also talk to each other and continue those conversations like on a weekly basis, you know? So, I think that's what it is. It's just continue to be able to speak with each other and to give people a platform where they can come on and tell their stories. And whether that's through video, on YouTube, on, you know, Spotify, whatever it is, it's just that. And
right on, you know, man. No, I mean, that's really wholesome. That's really like heartwarming. That's really cool. I mean, I like that a lot that you guys did it because it's a matter of love. It's like a, you know, family business. It keeps you guys together, even though you guys are both kind of growing up, and like, you know, it keeps you guys close. You know, that's important. People don't realize that. You know, that's really cool. That's really cool. You guys are really lucky to be able to work together like that. No, that's awesome. So I'm assuming you guys have had a lot of experiences or personal, you know, events that have happened that created your passion in the paranormal. Is that the case, or how did you guys get that passion? How did you guys get that interest in the paranormal?
Yeah, I think for me, that and this is actually part of our podcast because of it, we always, you know, introduce our guests, and the first question that we always ask them was, what was your very first paranormal experience? Because I feel like everyone has kind of like that life-changing moment that kind of gets them sucked into all this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Eric and I used to watch a lot of, like, unsolved mysteries and, you know, probably things that we shouldn't have been watching or kind of, like, freaked us out. And I know that unsolved mysteries is a lot of, like, true crime stuff, but there is a lot of UFO and alien, you know, things as well. So that was always fun.
I was just watching some unsolved mysteries. No, I absolutely agree. Robert Stack, the you know, update.
Yeah.
Update.
And, like, Tales from the Crypt, too. Yeah. Just...
Oh, Tales from the Crypt is a gold standard. I can't imagine someone from South Texas who didn't grow up watching that as a child. It, like, as way too young, and it's just like it's very disturbing, and it's just like they didn't have any censorship back on HBO in the 90s. It was just like, what do you want? Murder, sex? You got it all. Creepy, it was like funny zombies.
Goosebumps for adults.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's got like. Oh, it's like not even a lot of twists or turns. It's just in your face, like from the moment it starts to the moment it ends. It's like it's intense. No, Tales from the Crypt is a way too awesome of a show not to keep, you know, always watching, like always just keep that alive.
Yeah.
But definitely. Exactly. So exposure to this media, the doorways were open basically. So.
I don't know if maybe I had other experiences when I was younger, but I guess the very first one that I could remember, we always said that, like, our house was haunted. There's things that would kind of happen or things that we would see, but I just distinctly remember this one time where my brother and my cousin was staying over there upstairs, and we had, you know, two-story. And at the very bottom of the stairs, I noticed that one of my dolls was almost like a spotlight, just, you know, a light that we had at the bottom of the stairs, like right on my doll. And I was like, okay, there it is. So I go down to get it. And then I noticed that my dog had just like chewed it up. So the head's all chewed up. It's like all mangled. And I was like, well, that's a bummer. But then I heard, help me. And in my kid mind, I was like, well, that's the doll, and I like threw it, and I'm like, it's possessed, oh my god, whatever. And I ran upstairs, and then I thought that, okay, well, my cousin and my brother are just playing a trick on me, but they're in the room, like, door shut, like playing video games. And as fast as I ran up those stairs, like, there's no way in hell that they could have gotten in there, sat down, been super calm, and me not have seen them or heard them, just because of the way that our staircase is kind of set up. So I knew what I had heard was not them. Now, was it the doll? Like, I don't know. But our downstairs of our house was very
active.
Very active, yeah. So I don't know if I was hearing something else. And then just stories that we've heard, or we had other people, like we had nannies and stuff kind of taking care of us. And they would, you know, sometimes stay.
Now, this was in Brownsville?
They would share stuff with us, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Near Port Isabella or closer to the western border of the city? Mercedes area?
Western.
Western. So, I just want to kind of geolocate areas of mine. I used to have a very long-term girlfriend who was from Port Isabella, so I'm very familiar with the history of the area, you know, the border and everything, and I was thinking maybe that has something... How old was the property? An old property? Do you think it was a type of ghost from, like, the settlement days or the colonial days or the Mexican-American War?
Like, the burial and everything?
Yeah, no, no. Well, before we do that, the, one of the other things that we were really into as kids because of our father was X-Files. So actually part of the reason why our name is We Believe to You is because of Mulder's poster, Do You Believe?
I Want to Believe.
So we were trying to come up with names, or I Want to Believe, And, yeah, so then we were thinking of things, and that poster popped up into my head, and I was like, We Believe, and then they were like, We Believe to You. So, but, yeah, so apparently our property, and I think this is throughout the entire city, because this was a huge zone, like, during the Mexican-American War, like a huge battle zone.
Mm-hmm.
So behind our house, there's a gas station now. But when they were like starting to dig that, you know, in that area, they built the church back there. And then those other places started to get developed and stuff like that. They ended up apparently finding a bunch of bones and stuff like that, like unmarked graves, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that there was a lot of stuff, a lot of things that may have happened on this land before, you know, they were developed into neighborhoods and stuff like that.
The whole border area, South Texas.
And I mean,
South Texas is like an Indian burial ground. A lot of it is the valley. A lot of the coastline is, and people don't even really know because it's not like it's written down. It wasn't like because it's been so many revolutions and the Mexican-American War and then Pancho Villa and stuff like that. And it's just and even now with the cartel stuff, especially now, it's not even like it ever stopped. Brownsville is. And to El Paso, those border communities just have a lot of wandering spirits, restless spirits, unsolved true crime, a lot of, you know, just thousands. And I mean, like, thousands of people either go missing or meet very tragic ends right along that little strip. And so, it's very interesting to have an experience down here because they're very intense, I feel like. The ghost sightings in South Texas are very chilling. Like, they're very, like, they haunt you. It's like they're very haunting. And we have a lot of them. Like a very powerful poltergeist activities.
Yeah. I mean, we Michelle mentioned, we had a lot of experiences in this house growing up. Our grandfather lived here with us at one point, and, I mean, he's got a history with doing things that aren't great.
Fiddling with stuff that we have, as far as like black magic or voodoo. Like, honestly,
Santeria.
We don't know exactly because we were a little too young to like really truly know what he was doing.
Absolutely,
but it was definitely messing with some darker stuff. Not anything just like a nice light altar or.
Absolutely understand that it's a sensitive subject, and but I can tell you that you're not alone, and I'd say like outside of maybe New Orleans and Charleston, South Carolina, and like a few other places, South Texas is very steeped into, for otherwise, voodoo, for otherwise lack of a better word, and it's practiced indigenously, and that just means everyone does it. Everyone does it. It's very common. It's very relied upon. It's very, everyone has that relationship with either someone they know or someone in their family that does that practice. And, it's just so common. It's like, it's like New Orleans. It's just so common. It's like, you know, people don't really understand it's real, but it's real. Like, that stuff is real. It's here. Yeah. And it's very powerful. It's a force.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that kind of relates to what I was going to say when I tell you about the experiences that I have, is that it has something to do with probably something that generationally was opened up in this property by practice like that. But even my practice against it was what people would consider a cult and very voodoo, but it produced the results it did because it's Like, this is the area for it. You know, when in Rome, when in New Orleans, you know, it's time to start doing some voodoo.
Yeah. And I mean, with us, like, we don't know exactly what he did, if he did anything here. We know that he did it previously, like when, you know, when my dad was a child, like a kid, adolescent and stuff like that. But him being here, we don't know exactly if he did anything. I know he had a Ouija board. I don't know if he used it at all here. If he really knew what he was doing, if he was using it, what, you know, if he had anything that he, like, rituals that he did here while, you know, while he was here. But we did have a lot of, like I said, like Michelle said, some of the ladies that would, the nannies that would take care of us and stuff like that, they had, in that room where he had ended up staying, they had a lot of experiences where, like, in the middle of the night, they would hear whistling or, you know, feel or hear things and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, they decided it was a good idea to talk about it around us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know, like, one of the very first things that I remember experiencing, and I don't know if it was, I don't think it was evil or anything, but I was asleep. We used to obviously share a room. Actually, this room that we're, that I'm sitting in right now, my bed was around on against this wall right here that I'm facing. And we were both asleep. We had little twin beds. And I remember being asleep, and we used to sleep with the door open, which this door right here behind me, it was open. And all of a sudden, I remember opening my eyes, and it was pitch black. And all of a sudden, I just see this, like, figure standing in the door. But it was, like, this rainbow-colored figure, you know, really bright, just, like, swirling colors, like it's not even
like a bubble, how like a bubble has all those rainbow colors.
Yeah, it's
the opposite of a shadow person.
Right. And it was like not like a rainbow in that it was like segmented colors, it was just like swirling white colors with, you know, it was white with mixed with different colors, like just all light spectrum colors. And I remember just being, I was scared because obviously I don't know what this is. You know, so I remember staring at it and then trying to scream, and I couldn't yell until I was finally, like, I finally was able to slowly start to get my voice out, and I yelled for my parents. And I remember them, you know, my father, I believe my dad was the one that came in first. My mom was immediately, like, right behind him. But, like, as he started walking through the doorway, the figure that I saw kind of just, you know, went away.
Now, do you believe that this was an extraterrestrial?
I don't know. We thought maybe some sort of like, well, an angel or something like that. But angel, I know, yeah. Michelle's had some stuff happen where they said that she might have been abducted as a child. So it could very well have been an extraterrestrial.
That does sound very much. Yeah, that does sound very much like not a shadow man, not a hat man, not a demon, but a angel, yeah. An angelic being. Or mm-hmm. some multi-dimensional entity or like an extraterrestrial visitor. And yeah. I mean, did you ever see that again? Or did that ever, that was the one?
No, it was the one time. And like I said, I was terrified. But again, it wasn't because it felt evil. It's just,
as a kid. Yeah, it's way too, and even in like, you know, biblical descriptions of angels, people are terrified. Because it's just so radical of a reality, you know, something to see, like, you know, that awesome of that light. The word awesome means, you know, kind of to bring you to awe, like to be terrified of something. And uh-huh. That's exactly how it's described. Like, you know, the be not afraid meme is 100% accurate. Yeah. When you see extraterrestrials, when you see something paranormal, fear. It's not that you're afraid of it, but there's no other reaction to have. It's like shock and awe. But I would love to hear the abduction experience that Michelle had. Yeah.
So it's super weird because I feel like a lot of our experiences that we had, we always blamed it on like paranormal, like ghost kind of thing. And it wasn't until we started doing this podcast that we started to see kind of like, oh, you know, poltergeist activity also happens with, you know, extraterrestrial activity kind of thing. And everything's maybe kind of blended together in some way, or you can't really, you know, differentiate, like, what is what. But, I mean, as far as, like, abductions, like, I'm not the one that has claimed it. It's, like, other people who have had experiences, but I just mentioned that, like, I would wake up in positions or in places that, like, I shouldn't be, and I've never been one to sleepwalk. So everyone's like, okay, well, like, you slept walking. I was like, but I've literally never slept walk in my life. But
I'm the sleepwalker.
Yeah, he sleepwalks, but I've never, yeah, no one's ever had to wake me up from sleepwalking or anything like that. But,
what were some of these,
you know, falling asleep
places?
They're all in my house, just not in my bed. Like, I would fall asleep in my bed and, I would wake up, like, in the living room. And there's other details that, like, I have never shared with anyone and probably still won't, but that one in particular was weird because it was like, I fell asleep. We were watching, I don't know, like Dragon Ball Z or something as a family, with my dad. And I remember falling asleep on the couch. And next thing I know, I woke up like in the living room on the floor. But everyone was asleep in their beds. Like, I was the only one still in the living room, but it's not like my parents would have left me in the living room to just sleep, especially on the floor, like by myself, like they would have taken me, but it was just weird that, like, I just was out and then woke up alone, I guess. And then there's been other times where it's like I am asleep in my bed and I woke up with essentially my head at my pillow, and I was like tucked in as if I had been tucked in upside down, which that's not how I fell asleep. And my sheets were like tucked in, like I wasn't like, oh, my sheets are everywhere and I'm, you know.
No, that's very odd. That would make sense. But that's very, that had to be done by something or someone. Like, it's not something that naturally happens. No, I had a very similar childhood experience, but I am a confirmed childhood abductee and close encounter survivor. That's very much a very, very powerful calling card or cue or symptom, as it were, symptom of being abducted, is waking up in places that just don't make any sense, and it's not where you intentionally slept, like waking up in a different room on the floor or waking up in your bathtub or bathroom or something. Like, so you wouldn't you're not narcoleptic, you're not a sleepwalker, wouldn't go from one room to the floor of another and just fall back asleep. They, you know, it's not that symptomatic. I woke up once in my yard, for example, in the front yard. And it was, I was wet with dew and everything from being out there. It was as if they just took me and put me back in the front yard. Like, it just, like, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's like they get you, and then when they put you back, it's like wrong. Like, they just, it's close enough. And it's like kind of like, it makes no, you know, but yeah, when you're thinking about it, you're like, why? But I've also heard people talk about getting the wrong set of clothes or having their clothes inside out and things like very small details are very obviously off. Like, you know, but that, yeah, definitely sounds like a close encounter or an alien abduction more than sleepwalking. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, so, and again, this was like a memory that was just kind of locked in my head. It was like, okay, I remember waking up in weird positions or like in weird places, but like whatever. And it wasn't until we had another abductee on the podcast that they started talking about that. And then just all those memories of like waking up in weird places was like, oh shit. Like, wait a minute. This happened multiple times.
She had a mini regression session.
Oh, basically, that's how it very commonly it works. A lot of people don't even remember having alien abductions until they're way older, in their 40s and 50s, and then it just kind of all comes like a flood, and then people have very detailed descriptions that appear to them in dreams, that appear to them in, you know, visions, as it were, watching a movie, and all of a sudden they see it happened to them, and then they realize that they have histories with it. It's very remarkable that the human being, the human memory, both will never forget, but is very, it's very diverse in how it remembers, how it chooses to remember, and how it can remember. You know, it's like, have you ever seen Close Encounters of a Third Kind?
I've not watched it.
I mean, it's super. I hear it all the time.
When the guy, he starts making little, like, he starts making mountains out of, like, mashed potatoes and things, and he's like, this means something. And it's, like, very much that's the calling card of a very common alien abductee experience. Like, the symptoms is creating or trying to get, like, out a memory that you can't even remember you have. And so it's like, you know, no, it's very, very awesome that you came to that revelation, that you actually started realizing that these events had happened, and definitely a positive sign, because maybe you can actually remember in more detail if you just keep hammering at it and, like, yeah, you know, examining it.
I feel like, I think there's a little bit of a delay, so I'm sorry if I talk over you at any point. I thought you had stopped talking, but it was
kind of
delayed. So I apologize.
Oh, absolutely. I totally get it. Don't worry about it at all. I totally get it.
Sorry. and another, you know, weird thing you mentioned was that an extraterrestrial with Eric's, you know, rainbow kind of entity thing. A funny thing happened. This was years later. Like, I was already living in Austin. I was on my own, like, in my apartment. And I ended up seeing something very, very similar, but this wasn't me waking up. This was very much like it seemed like an out-of-body experience kind of sort of thing. But the weird part of it was when I initially woke up, there were shadow people. I tried to leave my bedroom, and for whatever reason, my brother was there, and he actually was like, no, it's okay, and, like, grabbed me and took me back to the room. To my bedroom, where I saw this, like, the shadow, you know, figures, and when he, like, kind of, like, turned me to, like, look at where they were again, now there are these, like, bright white rainbow figures, and they weren't so scary anymore. And again, this, like, Eric and I guess growing up Catholic too, we're like, oh, okay, like, angels, it was something nice, it wasn't scary, but it was overwhelming, and kind of, like, there's that fear, right, because it's overwhelming, but it didn't feel evil like it did initially when there were shadow people. But I don't know, so it's really hard, like, well, what is that? Like, is it extraterrestrial? Is it paranormal? Is it interdimensional? Like, what, you know, what is that?
I think whatever it is, it's very frightening, and it's very right to fear it. It's very right to worry about these encounters with the unknown that are intruding into your personal space and everything. So definitely I understand the shock and the concern, but the question of what these, like, the diversity of them, the variety of these different beings, all we know is that they are different. All we know is that they are, you know, very diverse, you know, in their origins, maybe in their purposes, or definitely in their purposes and everything. But yeah, like, the mystery and the unexplained, right? If only anyone had the answers, if only anyone knew for certain and was able to, like, you know, help everyone else out. But that's where we find ourselves, is that's why we call it the paranormal, because it isn't normal, you know, he's like, whatever, para, but it's not normal.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely. So yeah. Anyone that you've talked to, because it feels like your interviews have actually influenced your own understanding of your personal experiences, anyone you've talked to, any interview you've done, or any subject you've covered that you feel like a strong reaction to, like, you would be like, yeah, this one is the one that you should listen to. If you're going to listen to one of our episodes, like, which one would you... You know, shooting from the hip, just be like, hey, check out when we worked on this.
I feel like Craig would be. Yeah. So I'm going to try and pull up exactly what episode number, because we've interviewed him twice, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he has, like, two-part episodes, because we were like, yeah, we'll talk for an hour, and we went for, like, 3 hours.
Both times.
both times, yeah.
Yeah.
But Craig Lefebvre was probably the one that was, like, really, I was like, oh, wait, I did wake up in different places, and he's also an abductee. Or would you say anyone else, Eric? Or?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the first one that came to my mind was Craig. For me, like, in that first episode that we did, the first interview that we did, I think I was pretty quiet for most of the interview, because just everything that he was talking about for me was just... It was a lot of new information, and it was just, like, you know, mind blowing. And it was a lot for me to handle, like in that, just in that that session or that interview. And I remember afterwards, my head was kind of just, you know, hurting because of all the information that I received, you know? And then in the second interview, a little bit less so, but, you know, cause I kind of had an idea of what was going on or what they were talking about now, but, it was definitely one of those instances where it was just like, wow, that was a lot to take in.
So, his first interview is episode 23, 24, and then his second interview is 65 and 66. If you guys are interested or wanting to hear, what he has to say, but he's also written, quite a few books too, that are pretty much like extraterrestrial, you know, the topic is about that, and this last one he came out with is about his, based off of his personal experiences. But yeah, I think I'd probably say Craig.
Awesome, and thank you very much for providing, you know, as much of those answers that, you know, I asked and all that. That was great. That was awesome. Like I said, I really don't have any more questions. That was the half hour for me. Being the interviewer, okay. I guess if you want to switch in, and I'll be the interviewee, and yeah.
Just, yeah, before we do, I just want to, because you had asked me, had I ever seen that before again, or have I ever seen it again after, like, that entity, that specific entity, no. But the only other time that I felt like I maybe had like, an angel experience was, I used to work in a nursing home, and, I remember I had a patient who was like, he was about to pass. So we were just basically waiting for him to go. I used to work night shift. And I remember walking down the hall, and at the end of the hall, we had these like big metal doors with like these, like they had windows in them. So it's a pane of, you know, pane of glass, a window there. Okay. Yeah. And, cars would pass by and you could see the light come through. But I remember when I was walking down, cause I was going to go check on him. I remember seeing this like bright, this time this light was gold, like a golden color, and it just shone really bright through that window to the point where, like you had mentioned about being in awe and stuff, like I had to turn away because it was so bright. And then I looked back, you know, at the window to see, like, you know, what was that? And then I turn around, to see if my coworker, the other nurse that was working that night, if she had seen it. And I asked her, I was like, hey, did you see that? And she goes, no, I didn't. And I was like, oh, that, you know, so I just thought it was weird. And then I remember, I don't know if it was in that time that I went to go check on him, or a few, like a couple hours later when I went to go check on him, that he had, you know, he had passed. Yes. But I just, that was another experience where I had of like maybe an angel or something like that, that came through, but it was a different, completely different colors to what I had seen previously. So.
But similar kind of,
yes,
otherworldly kind of bright light and color, mm-hmm, and vibrance and power, because maybe these beings, these angels, are angels of light, and just like there's different kinds of angels, there's different kinds of, mm-hmm, of like shine, of different kind of like luminescence or color that they possess, different physical appearances. And absolutely, that sounds like it was a angel that took him, or his soul coming,
right,
or passing into, you know, the other life, the great beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so now, I guess let us get started. And Michelle, would you like to ask Tex the question we always ask our guests?
Absolutely. And I know that you have some other experiences to share with us, but just to go tradition, what was your very first paranormal experience that you had?
My very first paranormal experience that at least I remember for sure was a abduction experience at the age of 9. And like, that's a huge part of my life and everything going forward into, who I am and what I've become, like what I've done with my career and what I've chosen to do, and talk about, you know, UFOs, secret space program, you know, government conspiracies, etc. around it. But the abduction experience I had when I was 9 is special because it's a very rare experience called a MILAB, not just an alien experience, and I hate to say just an alien experience, an alien abduction with Greys or Nordics, but it was with human beings that were in the U.S. military, specifically the U.S. Navy, and they were wearing Navy uniforms, but everything else was an alien abduction. Bright light in the room, 9 years old, fully awake. This is not a dream. They literally teleport into the room and are walking around, asking me questions, engaging me in conversation. And at that point, it goes into a series of experiences, and, you know, without getting into too much of that, who I built my purpose, my podcast, and my YouTube channel, and my social media around, helping to expose that, tell my story, and to seek out and to provide a safe spot and safe place for other people with similar experiences, insiders currently involved with those programs and with this information, with this subject and this knowledge, insiders past and present, as well as anyone who survived these close encounters or alien abduction experiences before. But that was my very first one. It was a military abduction at the age of 9. And from there, multiple extraterrestrial alien abduction close encounters, spiritual encounters, the gambit of even cryptid sightings. But a lot of it is occult or spiritual based and extraterrestrial based. I'd say the majority is extraterrestrial UFO sightings, close encounters, alien abductions, brushes with the occult, secret societies of the U.S. government and around the world, you know, just the religious occult. My own practice and pursuit of the religious occult helped out a lot. I'm not saying I'm just a passive observer where I'm just trying to live my life. I mean, I was in a number of societies myself and helped practice a lot of that, what you would call the occult, and you know, everyone else would be, you know, fully aware of that once, you know, if I ever, you know, and I have gone to describe it as a Gnostic, alchemy, Telema, the OTO, you know, and various other Crawley based practices. I don't know if you guys know what Aleister Crawley is.
Yeah,
it's very modern. It's very, you know, exactly. A lot of that, you know, practice and endeavor. So it's not only that that has also opened a lot of the gateways up and opened my mind to it, opened my eyes to it, but also what's attracted a lot of this too. And I know full well of that. So going into it, I will always experience these things very commonly in my life, even though I'm fully aware of how supernatural and extraordinary they are. I'm able to kind of make sense of it and deal with it a lot more because I'm able to express myself, and I use the podcast, I use the channel, I use my social media to share the evidence that I collect, to literally keep myself sane by getting it off my chest, and to try to, like, you know, do as much as I can to help the advocacy of the issue as a professional, both as a independent paranormal investigator and as a researcher and theorist in this. So, you know, I try to do my best because of what I've experienced when I was very young and basically all my life since then. But yeah, very much close encounters of the third, fourth, and, you know,
I was going to say, all the kinds.
Exactly, fifth, every sixth kind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, it's funny.
Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, it's funny that you, because I had never heard that term my lab before, but it's funny that you mentioned that because on our second or our first interview of the year, we were Michelle was mentioning about how sometimes people who are abducted like see where you said that they see like people or like people in uniforms and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, then, rather than, I don't even yeah. remember saying it in the last one, but I. Like, yes, like, I know I've said it before, but
I understand there's always a spectrum and a strata of, like, different topics involving ufology. Some people just think it's UFOs, it's, and no alien abductions are real, but it's all sleep paralysis, and then some people think it's alien abductions are all just the Greys, and then they don't take the other counts, like, you know, as, like, maybe it's Greys playing tricks, but no, there, the spectrum is very diverse. There has been over 100 different physical types of extraterrestrials reported internationally over the course of abductions, and yes, members of the world's militaries are human beings in uniforms, like spacesuits, etc., working alongside extraterrestrials, are having just a place inside this experience, you know, maybe that it's just, you know, they're there too. You know, the idea of alien abductions is one of those that it's like really almost anything goes, but it's not as chaotic as that. For example, Bigfoot, Sasquatch type beings are considered the most third most common sighted extraterrestrial and alien abductions. But when's the last time you heard that publicly on a movie or something? But it's absolutely the case that almost one in three people describe something that looks like a Sasquatch, especially in Latin America, especially in South America, involving an extraterrestrial abductions. Human beings in military uniforms are as commonly reported in the literature, involving sometimes working with the Greys. Sometimes aliens will take people to military bases. Sometimes these bases are deep underground. Sometimes they're in semi-public areas that people just do not realize are being used for these abductions. In the area kind of like I grew up in. Exactly. The Men in Black are reported many times. These men are even considered robotoids or clones or alien hybrids, reptilian in disguise type beings that look human but are actually, you know, not. They're just cloaked because mimicking humans. But yes, it's very strange, especially the implications, which are absolutely the case that I've researched and discovered, and what I've experienced is that there is a secret space program, and not only that, but a collaboration and alliance between the U.S. military and its elite society and extraterrestrials. It's very well written in the literature, very well backed up and researched. This isn't a fringe subject without any merit. This has been almost a century of disclosure and events and experiencers, abductees, survivors, and whistleblowers coming forward and describing an ever intricate amount of related events and concepts that create a very tight pattern of basically activity and developments within the activity, including human abduction, cattle mutilation, you know, the proliferation of UFO sightings in the sky, the ever-tightening security and creation of things like Area 51 and you know, these installations all around the world. So, yeah, it's a very very rich subject matter to study. But yeah, definitely human beings in military uniforms are seen in abduction experiences very commonly. Yeah.
So and like the whole, I'm like completely forgot which president, it was like Carter, Eisenhower, which president had was it Valiant Thor, I believe, had created some sort of like,
Eisenhower.
Like all that basically is what you're saying is like Eisenhower. Okay. Facts, basically, like, or is it, is that the story, or is it something similar, but maybe they got details wrong, or?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, like, we all know that no one has been able to kind of verify anything, certainly no one will ever admit to it, but that's kind of the point. If you're alleging, which is this, we're accusing them of a top secret, beyond top secret, which is where I get my podcast name, conspiracy, they're never going to admit it. That we're never going to get verification, and no Pentagon audit or whatever is ever going to turn up the answer to that. But yes, no, we know what they're doing. It's very obvious. People like Phil Schneider have come out, Valiant Thor, that case, the Majestic 12 papers, people like Bill Cooper, you know, various ufologists like Dr. Carla Turner, and there's like all experiencers and all abductees, it's just a matter of knowing who to listen to and where to research. Like, you know, there are people who are bad faith actors. There are people who are con men and scammers and grifters and things like that. But, you know, there are as equally, if not more, truth tellers and people who are honestly trying to, you know, share the information, which honestly is, you know, it's super important. It really is. It's very important information. That's oftentimes considered some, too fantastic to be real, too much, you know, for the common person to even understand. But I think instinctively everybody knows. I think in everyone's heart, I think 75% of people age 30 and under believe in aliens, believe aliens are on Earth, believe aliens are here. And I think even more people believe aliens have been contacting the government, and, you know, like, the government knows all about them, and the government knows the truth, and that they're keeping it secret. So I think in time the people will just know, and it'll be kind of common sense.
Not blindly believe what the government says.
Yeah, like, everyone knows that true. The government keeps aliens secret, and that the government fully is aware of something, and that, you know, the aliens are fully aware of are on Earth and flying in our skies, and that, you know, it's not a matter of, oh, well, one video is hoaxed. It's like, you know, over 100 years of sightings and, you know, mass abductions and mass sightings and events, like when they flew over Washington, D.C., when they flew over L.A., and, you know, they had the Battle of L.A., that wasn't a hoax, and it wasn't, you know, you can pretend like it didn't happen, but it did, and this is almost verifiable around the world. Other countries admit UFOs are real. We've had the Israeli space chief, for example, former space chief, come out and talk about a galactic federation of light that the Earth works for. I mean, the Israeli space chief said that. So Paul Hellyer, who was a Canadian minister of defense, said that over 80 species of aliens colonize Earth. These aren't crazy people. These aren't nobodies. These are high-ranking military defense ministers and, you know, administrators and leaders. Yeah, who have, like the Valiant Thor saga. These are high-ranking political figures at the time, including Kissinger, Eisenhower, Nixon. And, you know, they're on record as having interests and admittance to UFO phenomenon and stuff like that. You know, like, these are admirals, these are captains in the military, generals, things like that, coming forward with their confessions and their tales. And as many people want to keep it where it's like, oh, well, who knows? We all know. Yeah. So.
We actually had a guest on who,
Oh, no. I was going to keep going. Yeah, no, go on. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say we had a guest on, actually, who also spoke about that, about knowing about different alien species that live here on this earth. And I believe her husband was in the Air Force or something like that. Joanne, episode 48.
48? Yes. Yeah. Because I think he went to prison because he was trying to come out with some of this stuff. So he basically told her everything, to try and get it out there because he was being imprisoned. Am I remembering that correctly?
Something like that. I would have to go back and listen to the episode, but I think that would be another interesting one. I mean, if, you know,
your
listeners would really enjoy that episode as well.
I listened to one of your episodes, number 40, with Wajid Hassan. And Wajid Hassan is an author. And so it really kind of, you know, it's exactly the same thing I'm talking about. It's personal experience with the UFOs, cosmic beings that watching over us, and the Star of Bethlehem being a spaceship. I mean, as long as authors are coming uh-huh. forward and writing books about that, as long as there are other people besides me coming to these conclusions, coming to these points where they, you know, it's deeply interesting. It's deeply important to have these questions and to keep examining, not just listening to, you know, what one person has to say, but when you can, when you start allowing yourself to imagine it, when you start allowing yourself to think about it, it becomes very clear. It becomes almost obvious that we are not alone. We have never been alone. And you know what? It's the point that they're literally visiting us one in our bedrooms and things like that. They're literally coming to get us. Like, you know, it's not like we're, you know, this infinitesimal, unimportant thing. We're so important that they're coming to visit us. They're coming because they want to kind of, you know, integrate us or at least include us in this knowledge, this discussion of them. Uh-huh. Like, they're not hiding from us. They're in our skies flying over our cities. They're allowing themselves to be filmed. They're allowing themselves to be seen. They're coming and visiting us, integrating them with themselves. They've already, you know, reached out and said hello and everything. And I think, you know, we've already said
it's
hi
like
back.
Terrifying and exciting all at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that a lot of times we just need to lose, we need to go through the fear, let the fear go and start getting on with the wonder and the Crazy. Amazement. Cause first it's going to be the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to people. And then it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to people. You know, it becomes like the thing that alien abductees all say it. Like, it's terrifying when it happens, but then afterwards, you kind of can't stop thinking about it. It becomes this obsession. It becomes this need to know or, you know, need to go back and need to kind of, you know, in many cases, people talk about it being a reality more real than the one that we currently live in. That we have to go to work, we have to wake up, we have responsibilities, that this world is telling us none of this is real, it's all in our head, and that this world is actually the fake one, and the real one is the world that you get to see for that little moment.
The other. That'd be nice.
Kind of like the Matrix.
I know. Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I know that this is like technically like 5-6 minutes left, but I know that you have shared some very intriguing pictures with us, and you did kind of tell us about them, but I didn't want to, like, I wanted to hear it from you too, if you wanted it, because if with your permission, if we could post those pictures too, so that people kind of know what
absolutely
we're referring to, would that be okay?
Absolutely, yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, could you share what those are?
Oh, yeah. Let me try to explain, because you can't really see the pictures over the podcast. But definitely go on Instagram. Yes. I'll try to post them again. They keep them on my board. And you can have the permission to post them for your listeners on yours. Now, this, I'll try to, I mean, I can't get it done in 6 minutes. So if you allow me to go a little bit over, definitely I can. Yeah, so what I was doing, it was in September 2022, I was renovating an apartment that hadn't been lived in for 30 years, but previously had people live in it for decades. And the process of renovating the apartment was, you know, many months in the making. I was doing it completely solo. And I had just gotten to the point where everything was, like, out and it was clean enough that I could spend a lot more time at night, and I had to spend time at night in there because I couldn't work during the day. It was way too hot. There was no air conditioning at all. So at night, while I was working on this apartment, classic signs of poltergeist activity. Things like hammers, my tools, which are heavy, being moved or falling unexpectedly. The feeling of being watched, the omnipresent sensation of someone literally like breathing down your neck or around you or watching you. Cold, cold air to the point where I was blowing smoke. And this is September in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's like, you know, still in the 90s, you know, and it's like in the 80s at night. Like, it's still hot, right? I was completely drenched in sweat every time I was working back there. And then I'd reach these pockets of super cold, chilly air. And it's very obvious when that happens. So I was like, okay, It's either an oppressive spirit, some kind of bad residual energy. I'm a firm believer in the stone tape theory, so I believe a lot of arguments and hatreds and emotions get, like, they stain a place. And I know this could be from when an old, like, you know, migrant worker or, you know, somebody from the cowboy days got drunk and then, you know, beat up his wife, and that pain and that misery stays in a house or a property, and it just gets replayed. And so, like, every couple that moves there just falls into this cycle of pain and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, and you think, oh, it's an oppressive, it's just the house is haunted. But I was like, okay, I thought it was just that, right? And I was like, okay, it's just that, it's just the house. And I will get my smudge sage, I'll get my white sage, I'll get my magnets, I'll get my drums, I'll get, you know, the Taoist Exorcist book, I'll start reading Jesus Christ Prayer, Lord's Prayer, I'll get, you know, the blessed holy water, start burning some candles, I'll do everything, right, to get it out of the way. And I started that, the smudging, the very big into Native American lore, very big into Native American practice. And like I said, smudging, the feather ritual, you know, drummed circle for hours, trying to just to get the aura of the place, the vibe right. And while I'm doing this, of course, it gets very late into the night. And it well almost into the witching hour, right? And at this point, I step outside to have a smoke, and I look up. And there is, at the edge of the light, because I don't live in the country, but I live in a pretty, you know, pretty widespread, like, pretty spacious neighborhood, right? Where the houses have a lot of, like, room in the yards and everything. And our lights don't go to the end of the property, right? So it's just like the lights aren't strong enough to go to the end of the property. It's dark to the fence line. And there are trees and brush and everything. And at the edge of the tree line, right under a branch, I know the area, there should be nothing there. There is this green, almost see-through, translucent being that I immediately recognize as a mantis man, as a mantid in the literature. But it's a mantis man. I've seen it before. I've seen it in my living room. I've seen this thing for the number of years. And I know the literature. And I say, so I'm one of the people who's an advanced enough ufologist that when he see not only has seen this, but when he sees this, knows that he has to act and try to take a phone picture with, you know, as fast as I could, hit burst, and as I was taking photos of it, it from its already already translucent state, like see-through state, just kind of it did that motion, it went, and just kind of like teleported away. It went. And just kind of like it went from something to nothing. And it just, and I caught it in the 3-second burst of a photo, boom, boom, boom. And then it's like, has form. And if you see the picture, it has form and it has a mantis man that's standing like this. And then it just goes, and it becomes this like light. And then it becomes this like, like a light just dissolves. And it like kind of just, and I was like, fuck. And it was seeing it in a way so that looking through my phone screen, I didn't get an ideal picture of it. I just got a widescreen panorama of the backyard and had to zoom and edit to where it was. But it's very clear. And all I had to do was heighten the saturation of the color. And you can see the green really well in some of those edited photos. But it's not a photo. It's not edited at all. It's not a Photoshop. But it's just a saturation. You know, I had to get the, because you see the other unedited one. It's kind of pale and can't really see it. So all I did was heighten and enhance it. You know. So I'm not saying it's not enhanced, but those photos of it being green that I sent you, and I even drew the red around the outline where I could see it, is what I saw. And then, but you know, I did my best. And everyone knows that even though you have a cell phone, cell phones are crap when it comes to taking photographs of anything at night, anything in the dark, and anything more than like 10 feet away from you. And it's just going to be like, especially something like that. It's not like, it's not a person. It doesn't immediately have the software to pick up anything. It's just like you're taking a photo of a dark edge of your yard and you can clearly see it, but you have to zoom into it and stuff, so. Hopefully it's very clear in the photo, but, you know, that is me doing my best.
When I saw
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Like, it keeps going quiet for a second, and when Eric sent that to me, it was like, that's creepy. But yeah, I feel like people always make that argument of like, well, why don't you take a picture of it? Like, everyone's got cell phones, you can't take a picture. But then, yeah, it's like, it just, like, you made that point too. Like, you can't take a picture of anything at night. It's always
gonna. This is the phone. Yeah, this is the phone. Have you
ever take a picture of the moon?
Exactly. Or like, try to take a photo of a dog on the street that's running, and like, literally try to get your phone out and take, and it's, by the time you can, it's just as, and you're like, oh, what, so the dog wasn't, not, we know that people who are skeptics will deny and say, well, if everyone has a phone in their pocket, why are you using a potato? And it's like, just it's such a bullshit argument to deny the obvious that we do have now phones in our pockets, so we are getting more photos, just the phones we have kind of suck and everything they take is blurry and out of focus, but we are getting more of these blurry and out of focus pieces of evidence up in front of people's eyes. And just so like people know, like, people have been convicted of crimes with less fidelity in security cameras and things like that. Like, you know, the bar isn't as high in real murder cases for the quality of evidence needing to be in high definition in 4K. You know, it just isn't. Like, reality is reality. The photographic evidence is there. I try my best. I have a Samsung phone, and for all intents and purposes, I think it's incredible evidence, you know, not even to be like, because I did it, I think it's just incredible evidence, and it's right there. And like I said, if it was my first Mantid case, I would have not gotten any sleep that night, or because I understood that these beings are here, and specifically around me, as a researcher and as someone who's seen them before. But that's something that, you know, people can listen to on my podcast, and I have episodes of it, and I'll do another one this year trying to make more sense of it. I've talked about it for a number of years, the mantids, the mantid men. The second image, though, I sent you was the one that shocked me, the one that actually did kind of scare me and disturbed me a lot. And I'm not trying to dox myself. I'm not trying to dox myself, so I'm not going to say what neighborhood I am or what my address is, or try to give too many details so people can, like, get scared and be like, oh, this neighborhood's fucking possessed or something, a gateway to hell. But I think it's a lot more common than people think that these beings do live, like, right next to us. They infest our properties. They're a big reason for demon sightings, or they're a big reason for ghost sightings, or darkness and evil in people's lives. They're the reptilians, they're the Draco, they're negative beings of reptilian origin. People call them demons, people call them devils, you know. And if you can see the picture, I'll explain the situation. So I got security cameras, right? The security cameras were on infrared, which is in black and white, and they run on a 30-second still frame, just to say recording time. It's the way I have it set up. But if there's any motion, then lights even turn on and everything, and so they can record better. But yeah, with this cheap security camera system I have from China, that's one of the more efficient ways to do it. So I have the camera, at this point, pointed at the back apartment property that I'm renovating, right? And this is more just to kind of make sure that no one is gonna, like, you know, human being is gonna break in there. I'm not even thinking I'm gonna catch anything like this, but in a few of the frames that night, the lights turned on in the backyard. Now, this will happen with cats, this will happen with dogs and things like that, right? But in this one, I could see in the corner of one of the parts of the siding of the wall in the back house, in the back apartment. At first, it was just, I have two or three still photos. It's three photos of it that are like, two photos are just bad. Like, you can't really see anything, and it's just this dark shadow presence. One is absolutely crystal fucking clear. That's the one I sent you, and that's the one where it is, with a little bit of enhancing, it is on its stomach, crawling out of, at this point, the foundation of the house. It was about a 2 foot tall hole. And this is a very bad property. I'm not going to say this property was the best, but like, at this point, there's a 2 foot tall hole in between one of the walls and the dirt floor, like the actual floor. And there's concrete foundation keeping it up. But it's a crawl space, and you could physically crawl under the house if you wanted to, if you needed to. It's about the size of a person. And this thing isn't gigantic. It's the size of a person. But it's crawling out of the house. It's on two arms like this and looking out to where the main property is. And at that point, the next one is that it's actually just kind of gone.
We're going to post this, guys, so that your skin can crawl.
It is absolutely one of the things where I saw it and I was trying to talk myself out of even it having happened. But at this point, crazier things have happened to me. Stranger things have happened. So it's absolutely, I think I exercised this reptilian, or that this reptilian was just either filmed following or relocating or just, you know, moving across the yard from its regular path. Maybe I didn't do anything. Maybe I didn't even make a dent in it, but maybe at the same time I did actively exercise with the white sage. Which I know in Native American lore, all evil things hate, all things of darkness hate the white ash. They hate like wendigos and skinwalkers and things like that. The fact that it was at night, like I had to enhance a lot of the saturation, because even in the actual photo, it's just very dark. So I don't know if it's a shadow being or some kind of ethereal entity or more physical, like, and that it was just underneath the actual house, like a creature living, like a evil fucking raccoon. But like, exactly. I don't know any details beyond that. That was the one thing I saw, was this photograph. And that was right after I did the exorcism and late into the night. And like I said, the mantis men was the first sighting. I actively saw that one. Actively was able to take a photograph with that with my cell phone. And the next photo was from my security camera. And like I said before, it's a panorama. So you see the actual photograph. And it's just the side of the house, including the yard. It's this wide angle shot. And the actual image proportionally was about this big. A little bit bigger in complete shadow from an angle about 20 feet high looking down. So I keep having to explain this to myself, that why the photo looks in, and I couldn't only get this couple of scenes because it's like, yeah, if I had known where to look, I could have, you know, obviously put the camera there, but it's a camera recording the entire property. And so I had to zoom into it and then crop it and then actually just keep, you know, filter out all the bullshit basically. But that's the photo I produced with the escalation of these contrast and the lighting and everything, and you can see it clear as day, crystal clear, this reptilian being. It's got three eyes, it's got three eye sockets, one in the middle of its forehead, two on the other side. It's got a clear kind of like baboon face, like a reptilian face. It's like this like weird extended muzzle. And it's standing there on its, basically it's lying on its belly, halfway in and halfway out of the house, with its clawed hands in the ground. And you can feel free to show that photograph on your website and everything. I would love to have everyone look at it and tell me their thoughts on it, if they've ever seen anything like that before. I've seen the reptilians, and that's how I understand it, as an extraterrestrial, or as some kind of subterranean lizard man type being. But you know, if people have a religious explanation for it, you know, exactly, I'm open-minded to everyone's interpretation of what that was. You know, I've even thought about skinwalkers and things like that. Like, I'm very open-minded. Anyone who has any Native American knowledge of what these beings could be or what they're called, or if anything is associated with the area. But I'm willing to say it was extraterrestrials times two, with the mantid creatures and with this reptilian being that was underneath the back apartment of the house that emerged on security camera.
And can you remind me again where you saw the mantid, or I guess like how close were those sightings at, like on your land basically?
It's the same property. Right, yeah, it's the same property, and that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, I don't want to dox myself or anything, but it's a sizable property. It's a property that, you know, if you were to walk from the back to the front, main property to the back property, you'd have to go through darkness at night. You know, it's the lights don't reach each other kind of thing, but the lights of the back property don't really even extend to the back of the fence line and things like that. So it's like, while still in a residential area, it's still a very large residential area. So it's like the cameras that I had were at the main property looking at the back property. You know, so that's like, I wish I had brought the cameras back there. I wish I had set up some kind of recording equipment back there, but I was doing my best with what I had and just moved the cameras to face that property. And they're the home security cameras for the main property. And I don't know if anyone has like a Ring door cam or anything, but you know, have you ever tried just noticing things across the street from like a Ring door camera? You can't make out any real detail.
It's hard, yeah.
So yeah, it's hard. Even just across,
you have it on the highest quality.
So even at that distance, it's like I had to like notice it on the corner of the ground basically and go, what was that? You know, and then enhance and zoom and then get, and it's, but it's there. It's clear as day. It's right there.
You guys will see it.
Yeah.
It's creepy. And I keep staring at it and telling myself not to, and I keep looking at it.
Yeah,
with like that camera at the zoo here in Texas that got the picture of that being that was walking around the fence.
The werewolf or the skinwalker, yeah, that was absolutely also the case. Like, you know, you don't think it's you don't think these things are real until you capture them on security camera. And you're like, what? Like you're like, because you're reviewing your security camera footage, and you're like you kind of don't believe it, but it's your security cam footage. It's just an automatic like feed, and then you're trying to rationally explain it away. But luckily, I'm so well versed into high strangeness. You know, I'm open to it. I wasn't one of those people that it's gonna mess up forever, or someone who's like, oh, I'll just, you know, pretend this didn't happen. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a fucking reptilian living under our property in the back house. And I think I burned some white sage and drummed while, you know, chanting some Native American and Christian prayers. And this chased it off the property, which I'm open to believing that's the case, because that's what it looks like to me. And that's absolutely what I think I captured, and that's the personal experience I wanted to share.
Yeah, and because like even if, you know, let's say a skeptic is listening to this and they see the picture and they're like, it's bullshit. Even if you want to say it's a human, that is still fucking weird to have like some random human crawling out of like it's still weird.
Shirtless.
Yeah, like, but this thing, like, you can very clearly see like three fingers, I guess, right? Like, it's very, I don't know. I just can't wait for our listeners to see it and, like, know how unnerving it is. Like, I can't,
I'm fully open to anyone who's skeptical to come and review the evidence, especially the mantis man and things like that. That's I think, is the best evidence of a mantis man, you know, online or in the web today. And I welcome all skeptics and deniers and things. And, you know, it's like, come at me, bro. That evidence is what I got. I posted it on my Instagram when it happened, September 7th, 2022. My podcast is an open challenge to anyone who doesn't believe or thinks this is, you know, this is fake. Come look at the evidence. It's like, come look at the evidence. Go online and say, look at the evidence. I'll post it on my social media too. Twitter, Instagram, all of it.
If you're familiar with Guillermo del Toro, then that creature is very much a Guillermo del Toro-esque looking creature.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I almost saw like 20 different eyes on it, it looked like originally.
Yeah.
But now that you're mentioning like the different eye sockets and stuff, I'm like, okay, I can see that too. But yeah, it actually really does remind me of like something out of a Guillermo del Toro
I think it's a demon, to be honest. I thought initially it was a demon, and I'm willing to say that if I wasn't already a man of science and a man of the modern world, I would say that's a demon. And that's 100%. It looks like a demon. It's just what I when you say demon, that's what I think. It looks like a demon.
I do also want to mention that the entire time that you were telling those two stories, I really hope we got the audio because at least on my end, it was cutting out a lot. Like it would kind of skip and the video would kind of freeze a bit and then it would start to, I could hear you. And then it was happening throughout the entire time. And then now that you finished talking about the story and we're just kind of continuing conversation, it's clear it's not happening anymore. I mean, it happened throughout the episode, but it was really bad right now when you were trying to tell those two stories. So I hope we got that all on our end.
But no, this happens all the time. Every time someone's gonna like something that's like top secret or like that, you know.
It happened a lot with Joanne too.
It happened. Well, it cut out completely, and I think it stopped like 5 times, and we managed to get her episode, but it was bad. And yeah, I'm like, I have full body chills because Eric is absolutely right. It kept cutting out. I mean, we pieced together what you're saying. But, now that you're not talking really about it anymore or describing it, all of a sudden now the audio is like...
That happens.
It's not cutting out or anything.
That happens. That's why I typically don't like to choose video software because I don't know what it is about. Maybe it's the energy and telling the story or maybe it's people listening and maybe like, you know, just screwing with us intentionally. But no, every time... I use video chat and everything. That's when the problems start happening is when people start getting really into telling their side of things is that I think it's, you know, it's like I've had calls dropped and freeze up, lock up and stuff. So I'm sorry, but I have the audio on my end. I recorded it. And so if you need to hear the vials or record again, hopefully this will be at least, you know, my end of things so you can hear the voice without it freezing. Always have an analog. That's what I kind of use this for. Because at least this isn't online. This is all until I put it online. So this is all at least analog as much as we can get it. A backup, you know. But yeah, I'm not streaming or anything on my end. So hopefully, fingers crossed, you guys got a preserved copy of it. You know.
So, sometimes it cuts off, it'll like cut out like that when we're recording, but then when I go back and listen to it, it's fine. But if for some, because I feel like it's really important what you're describing, especially with these two, or the photos, if it is cutting out, I would definitely be reaching out to get that audio so that people, or I guess, can hear clearly. But I'll check it as soon as we're done here, just to make sure.
No problem. Thank you very much for letting me share that event, share that experience, because I haven't had anyone to talk to about that. Typically, even in my own podcast, while I've described it before, I believe I described it on Instagram and did a video on it, that it was, you know, now that I think about it, it was actually very, very shocking to have seen both those in one night. But it's part of just, you know, when you open your eyes, when I opened my eyes, I started seeing these things multiple times a year, different calibers, different intensities, and it's been as consistent as it still is since 2012. I would say 2012 is when these things started happening and they didn't stop. And since then, went through... my attempts at trying to make sense of it, to denying it, to making peace with it, to embracing it, and then now becoming, you know, like, I am absolutely trying to prove it. You know, I am trying to capture as much evidence of it as possible. I know, I already have captured a lot of evidence, but I mean, I am trying to find that smoking gun. I am trying to find that video... a clip that I can record or, you know, audio that I can record or picture that I can snap that's going to be undeniable. And I think, you know, that you guys are already seeing that I am, you know, legit and I am trying my best at trying to capture these things because they're all around and they're not even hiding anymore as far as I'm concerned. Like they are in the open. Like they are just walking amongst us. You know, like it's like I feel like that movie They Live, where it's like you put on the magic glasses and then all of a sudden you start seeing the world as it really is. Like, you know, people are like, you put on the glasses and the people are monsters and shit walking around the bank and the store and you're like, you know, like, holy shit. Because it's like that, you know, you start thinking about things and it becomes very obvious that we aren't alone, that everyone is dealing with something, and it's just a matter of listening and keeping an open mind and keeping open eyes to see it. So thank you all very much. Yeah, thank you very much for...
Well, I'm super, like, excited, but also bummed that it was, like, a half and half kind of sort of episode, because, like, I still want to keep talking to you, but also, like, going in at an hour and a half. So this might be another, like, a...
Well, I would definitely come back on, yeah.
I just talk more, or maybe if I just... Yeah.
I definitely come back on, yeah, definitely. And being South Texas creators, being independent paranormal investigators from Texas and from South Texas, I definitely want to keep working with you guys, you know, at least to kind of really, really get to that point where we got to stick together, we got to network with each other, and we got to kind of make South Texas a big center for this paranormal investigation. We gotta do as much as we can to kind of keep it, you know, for Texans, by Texans, but, you know, as a gift to the world.
Yeah. Can get behind that for sure.
Corpus Christi Spook Central and My Paranormal Journal. Also, Texas, their Texas Paranormal
Paranormal Journal.
Paranormal Journal. Sorry, my paranormal story. I do it every time. I do that to my paranormal stories as well. So, Paranormal Journal, Corpus Christi Spook Central, both also South Texas investigators as well. Yeah.
So. Yeah. CC Spook is super famous down here and everything. They're the ones who did the Lexington, and they've worked all around. They've been on all these major TV networks and everything. Definitely always love to see CC Spook working and everything. I think they've done a lot to highlight Corpus Christi's haunted history and locations and things. Definitely like the fact that they're from the area.
Yeah. What's Dan's also?
Hasta la Muerte Chronicles.
Yeah, he usually does the history portion of like hauntings in different places here in South Texas as well. He's like the historian basically, and he's actually brothers with
Joseph
from Paranormal Journal. But yes. Yeah, he does the history portion, and then the investigation portion is done by Paranormal Journal. It's very, very interesting and fun to also watch his content too.
And we had Monty on as well from Spook City, Spook Central. Sorry, from Corpus Christi Spook Central. On the episode too, if y'all want to check that out, that's episode 86 with Monty Prescott. So,
But is there anything that you would like to promote, Tex, one more time? Just because I don't think that we did that at the beginning, so if you could let everybody know also where they can find you and social medias and everything.
Yeah. Easiest way to find my social media is just through Linktree/BeyondTopSecretTexan. Linktree/BeyondTopSecretTexan. All one word, lowercase. It brings you up to the directory. Social media is Instagram and Twitter currently. YouTube, I got a YouTube channel. And the podcast. And I got most of my effort in the podcast right now. Hundreds of episodes available in the archive, but currently just the last 2 months of episodes are going to be, you know, available for free and everything, but the two most recent months, just because it helps out with the archive and the membership and all that, so check it out. But if you have any kind of questions or interest in a subject, check out the archives. If you get a chance, maybe I've talked about an episode, check out the YouTube videos, hundreds of YouTube videos on this subject, covering everything from alien abduction to the secret space program to the cryptids, cryptozoology, the paranormal, the occult, basically all the general interests of the paranormal that I kind of follow, as well as interviews with other creators, different kinds of genre pieces where I talk about different media. All of that's going to be available on the YouTube channel. You know, just if you go through the episodes, it's all there. And the podcast going to be putting out new episodes about 3 a week, and going to be keeping that schedule for 2023. And definitely look forward to just presenting as much information regarding the supernatural and the conspiratorial and the occult, not only for this next year, but as far into the future as, you know, I have left. I have, you know, left in my life to keep doing it, because this is exactly what I love to do. This is exactly what I was born to do, and this is exactly what I hope to die doing. So yeah, hopefully that's not an ominous prediction, knock on wood, but you know, at the same time, I wouldn't mind doing this, you know, for the rest of my life. I really wouldn't. So hopefully I can still, you know, keep doing it and do it full time. So yeah, that's the Beyond Top Secret Texan podcast. Type in Beyond Top Secret Texan on any search bar, it should bring it up. Although I'm extremely shadow banned, I'm extremely censored, and I am extremely basically obfuscated, obscured by the powers to be, the big tech companies and the big social media companies. Like, I know people who, when they search for me on Instagram, get multiple warnings, have to basically type in the entire Beyond Top Secret Texan name to pull up the information. Twitter, same thing. I actually had somebody search up my channel, and it's just like reply boost denial, you know, shadow banning, search suppression, you know, just every single thing, muting results, all of it was under my name, and it's absolutely verifiable that I've been shadow banned. The data doesn't lie. You know, I'm not going to say I have a super successful podcast. I understand that people don't know who I am, and I don't even know really how many listeners or followers I have in total. But, you know, I can prove through analytics, I can prove through the insight that those social media, like Instagram provides and everything, that I am 100% shadow banned, 100% limited in my reach and all that. And, you know, I appreciate every single supporter. I appreciate every single listener. I appreciate every single person who even checks out one episode and gives me even 5 minutes of their time. But absolutely, it's 100% a word-of-mouth effort. It's a grassroots effort. It's an underground effort. But it's an effort of love, and it's an effort of passion. It's something I'm never going to give up, regardless of no one even listens to the podcast at all. You know, and I can't reach a single person, I'd still be making episodes, because this is, you know, what I know to do, what I have to do, basically, is just keep talking, keep telling my side of the story.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, and I mean, just with what you shared with us today, like, sounds like you know you should. I get into it for, like, the fun of it, but I've never, like, really dove in deep, so I think now I have to go listen to your podcast and just dive in deep too. But hopefully not see any mantids or creepy reptilian human like creatures. I don't know if I could, I would have to get out of that as soon as the moment that I saw anything like that, so maybe not too deep. But yeah, I mean, thanks again, Tex, for being on. I, again, like I said, can't wait for people to check out these photos and hear your experiences. And thank you for having us on your show as well. It was fun to be on the other side, I guess.
Well, thank you very much for doing what you do. It's very important that you provide a place like you are for people, you know, the little guy, the people who aren't professionals, the people who aren't on the circuit, the people who aren't. But at the same time, yeah, just to provide the South Texas perspective and to provide that Texas genuine, like, heartfelt, like, you know, interest in the subject. I think that means the world to a lot of people. I think that's really special. And you guys keep doing what you're doing and, you know, provide that for the world. So thank you very much. We believe Ellipses, do you. and podcast. And thank you very much, Eric and Michelle Connor. Thank you very much for having me on as a guest. I think that's really awesome that you took the chance and everything. So thank you very much. I think, you know, working together in the future, being back on to tell a little bit more of my side of things would be really cool.
Yeah, of course. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah, we will.
So thank
just,
you.
Just give us a few months, a few episodes, and yeah, because I'm not done here yet, but we do have to be done here too, so for sure.
I know your time is valuable and everything like that, so I won't hold you up for any bit longer than I have to. So thank you all very much, and yeah, thank you.
I was gonna say this is more of a reverse thing. We just don't want to keep your time, but I actually probably should because it's getting late. But yeah, don't worry, guys. If you're just as excited as I am, we will have him back on.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, and everybody listening on my end of things, listening to the podcast at home for myself, listen, like your Beyond Top Secret Texan fans out there in Dreamland, namaste and shalom, iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend, thank you all very much for listening, Beyond Top Secret Texan podcast, I've been the Beyond Top Secret Texan, thank you very much, God bless you and your families, peace out.